And now, back to Tesh Matters with Jeff Boggs. Now, you're tuned in to What's Happening.
And we are back 39 minutes after 11 o'clock. Richard Hebert, Hebert's Garden Center, joins us on the phone. Sometimes business gets in the way.
Exactly. But that's okay. Like you're saying, that's not a bad
thing. Absolutely, absolutely. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Jeff. Just I'm inside right now, so I'm doing really good.
It's a warm one today.
It's very warm.
Could be one of the warmest of the year, and again, not unusual. We're about the midway point of our 90 days of 90.
That's exactly right. So, yeah, but normal is okay. We can handle that. Just, you know, maybe limit a little bit of that rainfall we'll be getting. Although yesterday, it was that normal spotty shower. But boy, downtown, we got some rain, didn't we?
And no doubt about it. In fact, and I'm not sure how widespread it was. I saw really a couple of isolated showers. Lafayette was getting hit pretty hard downtown. I saw in and around Cade, I think, had a pretty intense shower. But it was very isolated. And, you know, I know a lot of people have been trying to get out and cut their grass. And then they see that coming and said, well, maybe not tomorrow.
Exactly, exactly. But anyway, so it is what it is, and it's normal, and that's okay.
There you go. I guess we don't have to water, or in most areas, even though we're expecting a few dry days, watering probably not needed right now.
It kind of depends, though. You know, it's so hot, Jeff, that if you have some container plants, and many people can attest to this, is that you can get a 6-inch rain, and by 3 o'clock this afternoon, those plants would be suffering. So it kind of depends on the in the ground. You're right. You should not have to water at all right now, but if you're in a container, you just got to kind of know the flow of that container. It depends on the size of the pot, depends on the location of the pot, and depends on how long that plant has been in the pot. If it's a plant that's been there for, you know, over a year or so, and it's a smaller pot, maybe mostly roots, and you can get a 6-inch rain, and that water is go straight through it. So you really always want to get a feel for the pots and really watch those close, because, you know, if you assume that you get enough rain and then today, like you're saying, it's the hottest day of the year, they may struggle. So you just kind of get a feel for those pots and always keep an eye on them.
There you go.
But today I thought I'd talk a little bit, because it's really, you know, it's kind of in between seasons. You know, we're selling a few annuals and still selling those heat tolerant tomato plants. And but you know, for the most part, we kind of biding our time to temperatures cool off a little bit. So I thought I'd talk a little bit about applicators and the different ways that people apply insecticides or pesticides or herbicides to whether it be a plant or in the home, and maybe some of the different usages for the different types. Things have changed over the years, Jeff. You know, dust used to be a real, probably the most popular way to maybe deal with pests that are on your plants. And what I mean by dust, I'm talking about powders, in which you would, some people would just take a can and kind of fluff it into the plant, or they would take a stocking or a sock and kind of pour the powder in there and dust it into the plant. Or they would have, and we still have applicators in which you'd actually pour the powder into the applicator and kind of pump it out with a hand pump and just push this powder out and cause this little kind of a blowing dust cloud within the plant. And that was the most popular way years ago. But over the years, I think people have found out it's really not the most effective way. I think the reason it was popular back then, Jeff, is that you could actually, when you used the powder, you could see the powder on the plant, and so they would give you that comfort that, okay, the powder is there and I can see it. Whereas if you'd mix something in a liquid form and spray it on the plant, you could see the liquid when it was there, but when it would dry, you couldn't see it. And so it would kind of gave the people a false sense of security that, okay, I can see that powder there and I know it's there. Whereas people over the years have come to learn that, you know, even though you can't see it, the chemical is still there and still working. And the advantage to the powder is is sometimes you would not have to use an applicator if you kind of did it the way we talked about it. It comes in a ready to use. You dust it out of the can, or you put it in the stocking and pump it out. But the biggest disadvantage with the dust is a huge percentage of it would just kind of fly into the air and move on. And also, it was hard to get a good coverage. And many of the insects will actually go underneath the leaves. So when you're dusting the dust out, it's just hard to get a really good coverage top and below the leaf, so that it's covering the areas completely that you want to cover. So, you know, we do sell the dust. It's just it's not as popular as it was years ago. And so that's when you jump to the liquids. And, you know, liquids, you're going to need some kind of applicator to apply the liquid to a plant. And the most common applicator that people use are these pump-type sprayers. And that's the ones where you just, you know, go with your hand and you just kind of hand pump it until the pressure is in there, and then you have a nozzle which you just press and it sprays the liquid all over the plant. You know, there are some today, Jeff, that you know, the backpack type sprayers, in which you just, as you walk, you just take one hand and you pump it so you never lose pressure. There are some that actually you can roll on a wheel, and as you roll it, it's acting as the way that you pump your sprayer. If you're not doing a lot, you can have maybe a small garden. Just a really regular 1 gallon little spray tank is plenty good enough to apply the liquids. You know, one thing you don't want to do is get a huge container for a small garden. You know, you don't want to get maybe a 2 or 3 or 4 gallon sprayer for a small garden. The reason is that if you mix most chemicals, not all, but most pesticides, and when I say a pesticide, I'm talking about insecticides and fungicides. Once they are mixed, you really should use it all, because the water that it's mixed with will actually break down the chemical. Meaning that if you're mixing malathion and you mix it and you go spray it, and you've got a gallon left, or you get interrupted, and you say, well, I'm going to come back this afternoon and finish spraying. Just remember this, that for every half hour or hour that the chemical stays mixed, it will actually break that product down. And usually within 3 to 4 hours, you are just spraying colored water. The chemical has broken down, and it's not worth anything, although it looks like it's doing something. So you really want to be aware of that. Is that once you mix it, you want to get out there and spray it. So the point in being, if you buy a 2 gallon sprayer and you mix those 2 gallons, when really all you need is a gallon, you can't just hold that extra gallon and say, look, well, I'm gonna spray it in 3 or 4 days and spray it. It's really going to be non-effective. And so you want to be aware of that. And so when you're purchasing some type of applicator, you don't want to buy an applicator that is so big that one is going to be heavy, and two, you're going to end up just mixing a gallon anyway because you don't have that big of an area to cover. So always keep that in mind. Now, when it comes to certain weed killers, as Roundup or Killzall, many of the weed killers will actually stay active. You just got to kind of shake it up and mix it up the next time you spray it. And so for that situation, it's okay. But really, for 90% of the insecticides and the fungicides, they must be sprayed once they are mixed. And so you want to mix it at the time of using, and you don't want to overmix it. So these are the little tank sprayers that you manually fill and manually pump. Now, there's also the ones, Jeff, that you actually can hook to the water hose and spray. You know, the biggest benefit to those is the ease of usage, meaning that there's no mixing of chemical, and you can actually, you know, we have a sprayer that you actually just pour the chemical in pure. There's no mixing. You set the dial to the number of tablespoons per gallon, and you hook it to the hose and you spray it. The beautiful part about that is that any chemical that is in the container has not been mixed with water. So remember, we just talked about a minute ago that once it's mixed, you got to use it. Well, with the hose end sprayer, it doesn't premix, or at least with ours, it doesn't premix, so that when you finish spraying your yard or your garden or whatever you're spraying, you can actually take it out of the bottle and put it back in the original bottle, and you haven't lost a drop of chemical. The other advantages to a hose end type sprayer is that it will spray an area very quickly and very thoroughly, meaning that you can get under the leaves very good. You got a lot of chemical coming out, so you can really saturate it, and or you can spray long distances, meaning that if you're trying to spray a citrus tree, you can take it and you can spray it, whereas with a little tank spray, it could get very difficult to get in there and spray in there and do a very, very good job. So they call them RTSs, ready-to-use sprayers. You know, the efficiency is that you can use them very fast. You can you don't waste any chemical because it doesn't premix. You can do a really, really good job spraying, and it's easier because you're not doing any mixing. And a lot of people today just don't want to mix. Also, many, many chemicals today are coming in ready-to-spray bottles, meaning that you can buy them in a concentrated form or you can buy them in a ready-to-spray bottle in which that you just hook it to the hose and you're ready to go. What you want to kind of realize when it comes to the ready-to-spray type sprayers is that they put out the chemical fast. So you want to move fast. You know, with a little pump sprayer, you want to take your time, get under the leaves, and get everywhere. With the tank sprayers, I mean, with the ready-to-spray that hooked to the water hose, is that you put out a lot of chemical fast, so you can do a big area really, really quickly, and so you don't have to stand there and just saturate the area. So you want to move quickly. The advantage to buying the concentrates and either mixing your own or putting it to your own sprayer is usually an economic thing, meaning that per gallon, it's going to be cheaper for you to put in a little tank sprayer and go spray it, as opposed to buying one that's already in a ready-to-use sprayer. But in many instances, you're doing something, maybe you only have to spray once or twice, and you just don't want to have that residual chemical in your sprayer. So you kind of have those options, and that makes it nice. You know, the last type sprayer is the, and I just refer to them as a little Windex type sprayers. The one that you're just going to do you're just going to hand pump it and you squeeze it and it kind of spritzes it out like it does with a Windex sprayer. Those are great because they come in bottles that are either pre-mixed, so there's no mixing involved, and the chemical will keep in the bottle, and you can spray it and do a good job. The biggest disadvantage of it is that you really don't want to use that type of sprayer where you have a lot of spraying to do. For example, if you have, you know, two or three tomato plants and, you know, two or three bell pepper plants, I find that you won't do a good enough job with the little hand sprayers because, one, usually you're going to have to spray it more than once and you have other issues down the line. So you're going to have to repeat spraying. Two, people just, when you're doing a bunch of plants, and you got to remember, usually when you spray a vegetable plant for insects or fungus, the plants are fairly good size. They're probably upwards of 3 feet and 2 feet wide with a lot of leaves. So you're in there really spraying a lot, and it's hard to get to take that spray and spray it upside down. I just find you don't do as an effective job as if you would with more of a pressure sprayer that kind of builds up pressure, or a hose end sprayer that you spray the hose. So from that standpoint, I don't think it's as good. But if you have just maybe one little container plant or just a couple of small plants that you maybe once a year you have to spray for spider mites, or it's an indoor plant where you don't want to bring your tank sprayer inside, you don't have a lot of leaves to spray, the little Windex type sprayers are very effective, and many of the chemicals, you know, come pre-mixed in these type sprayers. So you just grab it and you go, or you can actually mix your own. The biggest way we sell the mix your own is when people are spraying for roaches or spiders, spiders in the house. They want to mix their own concentrate, and they'll go and actually spray along the baseboards with a Windex-type sprayer, because usually those sprayers are around a quart size, and you know, really, for a normal house, it's usually kind of all you need is a quart, maybe two. If you spray, if you mix a gallon, it's usually too much, and you just don't want to put out that much liquid in the house, and that's when they'll use that for that type of sprayer. And so, you know, all these can be used kind of define the things you want to define is how much spraying you're going to have to do, meaning that how much leaf coverage did you have to do, how often are you going to have to spray it. If it's a vegetable, you'll probably have to spray it several times in the growing season. If it's a house plant, you may only have to spray it once or twice. And so kind of determine that and how many different usages you may have, you know, if you want to spray your lawn for weeds or for sod webworms. Many times a hose-end sprayer is just such an easier way to do it, and you can do it so much faster that's a much more practical way to go than if you were going to use a tank sprayer. Whereas if you're trying to spray for weeds in the yards, like, for example, right now, the temperatures are so hot, you know, we hesitate to tell our customers to use a hose-end sprayer because you're using a chemical that's going to kill weeds, but you just want to be careful you don't burn the grass because it's so hot. So in this time, many times we'll tell them to use a little tank sprayer and go spot spray throughout the yard rather than overspray. Whereas with insecticides, it doesn't matter. Insecticides won't burn. So you can use a hose-end sprayer and do a big area very fast when it comes to the lawn this time of year. And so you just want to define what you're trying to use it for and how often you're going to use it and how many times that you think you're going to have to spray for this problem. And, you know, once you've kind of defined, you know, those questions and answered those questions, that'll kind of determine which sprayer to use. And all of them have their function. It's just some are, you won't waste as much chemical, and you better utilize it much, much quicker and easier.
All right. Had a question off the air in regards to insecticides, and he was concerned about adversely affecting beans. Is there a particular insecticide that's better for beans versus others?
Well, the good rule of thumb is that whenever you're using an insecticide or a fungicide, you want to do it late in the afternoon. And the reason is that the bees come out heavily during the day, and then they go back to the hive at night. And so you're going to have less chance of having major problems if you're going to do it late in the afternoon. Now, with that being said, there are some chemicals that just the residual, Jeff, will cause problems for the bees. Like they come back the next day and the flowers have been sprayed with a chemical, and it may be an issue for the bees, and that's true. So that's when you start to jump to the organic. But there are some of these chemicals, they don't have the issue that years ago that many of them did. They don't have the residual that many of them did. And so as a general rule, we tell our customers, just be sure when it comes to the fungicides and the insecticides, because you're generally spraying around the flowers, is don't do it till it's late in the afternoon, after 5 or 6 o'clock, where you know the bees aren't going to be around. And that should be sufficient. If you really want to really watch it, then you start testing the organics that are much, much safer for the bees. But sometimes in South Louisiana, Jeff, they just aren't as effective, especially this time of year. You know, the insect and the fungus population is so high that unless you really stay on top of it, it's really hard to control it with just organics. You know, organics in South Louisiana have to be used almost as a preemptive strike or just when you start to see the insecticide come out, you got to tackle it. If it gets too far ahead of you, then you're going to have to go with some of the more commercial chemicals. But I will say this, the commercial chemicals today are much safer than they were, you know, 20, 30 years ago. The chemicals that cause problems for a lot of reasons have been taken off the market. And so, you know, we're left with some of the safer ones, and I feel, you know, very confident about that.
Very good, very good. Got a little time left. Anything else you wanted to bring about today?
I think that's about it, Jeff. Other than we talked about earlier, you know, just kind of a few things that you can plant on the ground. You know, you don't want to do a lot of, you know, shrub planting unless you can really take care of it. You can still plant grass. You know, we can still get a lot of sod in and people planting sod. And that's mainly because sod grows so fast this time of year that in some ways it's better to put it down now than if you wait because the growth is so fast. The big thing is that as long as you can keep it wet, the heat is not a factor. You can't water if you plant new grass, Jeff, and you can't water it, are you going to leave for 3 or 4 days? Don't do it. But if you can, you know, if you can wet every day for the first couple of weeks, and after that, you know, a couple of times a week, then grass is really not a problem at all. When I'm talking about grass, I'm talking about sod, lawn grass, and so people do a lot of that, and because you can plant it, and then it grows so fast, especially with the weather we've been having, Jeff, as everybody knows, you can hardly cut the grass right now, and it grows so rapidly. And the same thing with grass that you just planted. If you do a house and you solid sod it, and you can come back in 2 weeks and you can't tell that it's been planted, and as long as you keep it wet. So other than that, we just kind of hang in there. We'll start with the vegetables, you know, the cabbage or broccoli. We're probably still looking another 3 weeks before we start with all that. And so it won't be long, and we'll be back and sell a lot of flowers and vegetables.
Sounds good, man. Always a pleasure. I will look forward to the next time.
Thank you, Jeff.
Tesh Matters, 10 till 1 on Kane Radio, AM 1240.